Wake up. It's the Saturday Morning Podcast. Let mom and dad sleep in and come back with me to the 80s. Let's grab a bowl of Golden Puffs or Apple Cinnamon Cheerios and flip on the tube. I've got the TV guide and hours of nothing to do. My name is Chris, and I love all the Saturday morning cartoons. When I was a kid, I lived for Saturday mornings. Now that I'm an adult, I want to relive all those great shows and see where they came from. Let's take a deep dive back to the 80s and see what's waiting. Rewind! Lords of Light, it's time to follow Thundar the Barbarian on his action-adventure story through a post-apocalyptic Earth. Premiering on ABC in October 1980, it tells the story of Thundar, a former slave, Princess Ariel, and Okla the Mock as they fight villainous wizards and rat-like groundlings. Hold on to your equorts, it's time to explore the world of Thundar the Barbarian.
Thundar the Barbarian! The year 1994. From out of space comes a runaway planet, hurtling between the Earth and the Moon, unleashing cosmic destruction. Man's civilization is cast in ruin. 2,000 years later, Earth is reborn. A strange new world rises from the old. A world of savagery, super science, and sorcery. But one man bursts his bonds to fight for justice. With his companions, Okla the Mock and Princess Ariel, he pits his strength, his courage, and his fabulous sun sword against the forces of evil. He is Thundar, the Barbarian.
According to the Thundar Wiki, Thundar was born in Numeria and has lived there most of his life. He was enslaved at a young age and eventually became the favorite gladiator of a Numerian wizard. During that period, he caught the eye of Ariel, the wizard's adopted daughter, and became friends with Okla, a mock gladiator. Ultimately, Thundar convinced Ariel to help him and Okla escape. Together, the three ride throughout Numeria fighting oppression and attempting to free the people of their homeland from the oppressive whims of the ruling wizards and the foul Black Sovereign. Thundar carried his sun sword, a saber of pure energy that could cut through metal, but its Achilles heel was bronze, a metal it couldn't cut through, for some reason. Princess Ariel is a sorceress and a scholar, having learned of the past through her stepfather's library. She is considered to be the brains of the group, and Thundar depends on her knowledge. She has a crush on Thundar, but the warrior seems oblivious to this, a fact that irritates Ariel to no end. Okla the Mock is a beast man who is the muscle of the group and deadly with his stun bow. He is the Mock who helped Thundar overthrow the evil wizard Sabian in the slave revolt. While Okla doesn't seem to speak in a human language, Thundar understands his howls just the same. The Mock rides a quadrupedal horse called an equort as the group makes their way across Numeria. Thundar the Barbarian was the brainchild of Steve Gerber and produced by Ruby Spears Productions. Ruby Spears was formed in 1977 by Joe Ruby and Ken Spears, two former writers at Hanna-Barbera. Together, they created Scooby-Doo Where Are You in 1969. Forming their own company and executives at ABC, they created shows like Fing Face, The Plastic Man Comedy Adventure Show, and Heathcliff. They brought their Hanna-Barbera sensibility to Saturday morning while giving their former employers stiff competition. In the comic book world, Steve Gerber was then known as the writer of Man-Thing and the creator of Howard the Duck for Marvel Comics. On Man-Thing, he was known as the writer who helped to define the character and take it to new heights. Howard the Duck was a satirical look at the world through the eyes of an outsider. In the book Steve Gerber, Conversations, he explains how Thundar came about. That came out of a lunch meeting I had with Joe Ruby in, I think, September 1979. The earliest ballyhoo was beginning to appear on the Conan movie, and it had occurred to me that a sword and sorcery series had never been attempted on television, let alone Saturday morning. We met, and I proposed the idea. He liked it, took it to the network, and I suppose he got a development deal since he called me back a week later and asked me to come on staff for a month or so to develop the show. He had formulated a few ideas about what could be done with it, and we designed it very specifically to be workable within the restrictions we knew existed on Saturday Morning Adventure Series. When you tailor a show that way from the beginning, sometimes you come out ahead in terms of the final production. The limitations have all been dealt with from the outset, and the ways around them are built into the concept, so you don't find yourself constantly having to overcome some new and expected complaint from the censors. Among the many artists brought onto the project at Ruby Spears, two in particular stand out as being well-suited to bring Thundar to life. Jack Kirby, epic artist and creator, started at Marvel when they were still Timely Comics and contributed designs to Thundar. This came at a time when Kirby had left Marvel, feeling he was not treated well, and pursued a career in animation. He would contribute designs to Turbo Teen and Thundar, among others. I personally feel his design work can be seen in the design of the main characters. After all, Kirby had a hand in creating the likes of Captain America, the Fantastic Four, the X-Men, Thor, the Hulk, and Iron Man. If you need a group working together, but in conflict, with a physically strong leading man built like a marble statue, Kirby was your man. Alex Toth was a veteran of Hanna-Barbera animation, having already had a 20-year career when Thundar came along. He worked on many classic shows including Johnny Quest, Space Ghost, Birdman, and C-Lab 2020. Critics noted that Toth understood visual storytelling and was among the best in the field. With this dynamic team assembled, Thundar the Barbarian was off and running. Now they just had to assemble the perfect cast. Robert Ridgely was cast as Thundar. During this time, Ridgely was also the collector on the Richie Rich animated show. He played General Ross on the live-action Incredible Hulk. Throughout his career, he performed much voiceover work, appearing on The Dukes, Strawberry Shortcake, and Flash Gordon. He'd appear as multiple characters on Alvin and the Chipmunks, also produced by Ruby Spears. He brought the quality of strength and leadership to Thundar. Nellie Bellflower was cast as Princess Ariel. In animation, she was featured in Return of the King and Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July. In the 1970s, Bellflower ran the gamut, appearing in live-action shows that helped to define the decade, including Happy Days, Barney Miller, and Starsky and Hutch. Henry Condon, aka Okla the Mock, played Fred Flintstone after original voice actor Alan Reed died in 1977 and was a voiceover staple for Hanna-Barbera. He appeared in both live-action and animation, bouncing between the two mediums. Of the main cast, Condon's credit may have been the deepest going back to 1947. It wasn't just the alchemy of the main cast that made it work. The guest stars brought it to life as well. Several well-known actors lent their voices to the adventures in Numeria. That included Joan Van Ark from Knott's Landing as Captain Corden, Nancy McKeon from Facts of Life as Ty, and Michael Ansara, known for the original Star Trek and Buck Rogers in the 25th century, as Vashtar. But perhaps the best-known character actor was Key Luke, who provided additional voices to this and other series and played the wizard Zevon. He was number one son in the Charlie Chan movies of the 1930s. He performed in live-action and animated television and movies. He was an artist that created promotional artwork for the 1933 King Kong. He was in Star Trek and Gremlins and was all over TV in the 80s. If that wasn't enough, he was all but cast as Obi-Wan Kenobi in the 1977 Star Wars before Alec Guinness accepted the offer. After these messages, we'll be right back.
It's gonna be a golden day. taste like Honey Grahams.
It's a delicious Honey Graham taste. Made to stay crispy and crunchy in milk. Tastes like crisp little Honey Graham crackers.
Oh, those golden Grahams, golden honey, just a touch with Graham's golden wheat.
Part of this good, nutritious breakfast.
Try those golden Grahams and have a long day.
Bet you know what this is. It's the Darth Vader collector's case from the Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back collection. Inside, it's got room for your favorite Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back action figures.
They fit?
Yeah. There's Dengar, AT-AT Driver, Rebel Commander, Leia, and 2-1-B. You can hold up to 31 action figures, each sold separately, and you can take them with you. Darth Vader collector's case. Action figures, each sold separately. From Kenner.
Saturdays on ABC.
Yippee!
It's all new adventures.
Let me at it.
With Scooby and Scrappy Doo.
Puppy Power!
Then an all new adventure series with Thundar the Barbarian, Princess Ariel, and Ookla in a great new show. Followed by the cleverest cat in town, Heathcliff, and his friend Dingbat with his crazy pals. And Plastic Man and his little son, Baby Plaz, in an all new Saturday morning.
If you watched the premiere of Thundar the Barbarian, the date was October 4th, 1980. Jimmy Carter was the President of the United States. Another One Bites the Dust by Queen was the number one song in the country. Moviegoers went to the theaters to see My Bodyguard, starring Chris Makepeace and Ruth Gordon. Ed Asner and Mason Adams from Lou Grant were featured on the cover of the TV Guide. If you were a kid in 1980, maybe you got up early and got yourself breakfast. Maybe you had cereal, like a bowl of chocolate donuts or Waffle-O's. If you were an ABC kid, you knew Saturday's Best on ABC. Their lineup started at 8 a.m. with Super Friends. Next up was a repeat of Fang Face, followed by The Fonz and the Happy Days Gang. Two great tastes that taste great together, Richie Rich and Scooby-Doo in their own show. And if you didn't get enough Scooby on this hour-long show, an episode of Scooby-Doo Classics was on next. At 11 o'clock, it was everything you were looking for. Thundar the Barbarian premiered with The Curse of the Black Pearl. It opened with fanfare, detailing the cosmic cataclysm in 1994 that wasted the planet. It caused tsunamis to crash huge waves on the cities and volcanoes to erupt and wreak havoc on Earth. 2,000 years later, a world of savagery, super science, and sorcery emerged. A slave breaks his bonds and fights for freedom. Equipped with his fabulous sun sword, he is Thundar the Barbarian. The story opens with mountains and overgrown foliage against wreckage of crash planes and rusted cars. Thundar, Ariel, and Ookla find a human held prisoner by groundlings, which are rat-like creatures. The human, Tyron, is rescued by Thundar's sun sword, Ariel's magic, and Ookla's stun bow and a healthy dose of brute strength. Tyron carries the Black Pearl, a gem with secret powers. The old man is taking it to a village of humans in Manhattan. Injured by the groundlings' attack and too weak for the journey, Tyron gives the Black Pearl to Thundar and charges him with the mission. Tyron tells Thundar that the Black Pearl's owner, the evil wizard Gemini, feared humans getting the gem for unknown reasons. To help Tyron, Ariel puts the wounded man into a magically induced coma to heal him. Thundar declares, "To the ruins of Manhattan!" The groundling leader tells Gemini about losing the Black Pearl. The wizard commands the groundlings to use their weapons to stop Thundar, or the rat-like creatures will be punished. On the way to Manhattan, Ariel questions what the Black Pearl is. Thundar doesn't care. It will reveal itself at the right time. Overlooking Manhattan, we see what's left of what was once the Manhattan borough of New York. We see the ruins of the Twin Towers and Statue of Liberty, relics of a long-forgotten past. Ariel creates an energy bridge, and the team starts to cross over the marsh into Manhattan. But the groundlings, 50 of them, attack. Thundar fights the rats who attack on motorcycle and is victorious. The trio cross into Manhattan and towards Tyron's village. From his tower, the two-faced wizard Gemini vows to recover the Black Pearl and heads towards a fight with Thundar. Arriving in Manhattan, Ariel explains that humans used to live in the city. She learned about the past in books she read in her stepfather's library. Exploring the subway, Ariel is kidnapped by Gemini and held ransom in exchange for the Black Pearl. Thundar and Ookla attack Gemini, but the wizard casts a freezing spell. Only the Mach is affected, it didn't work on the barbarian. Gemini disappears, his spell broken. Thundar realizes the power of the Black Pearl protected him from the wizard's magic. If more pearls could be made, the wizards would be powerless. Back above ground, Gemini's knights arrive in a helicopter, ready to fight the barbarian and his friend. The knights are proven to be machines and easily defeated. Thundar and Ookla steal Gemini's helicopter and fly off to confront the wizard and rescue Ariel. Thundar's battle with the knights was witnessed by a human in hiding. He reports what he saw to his village. These are Tyron's people, in hiding and afraid of Gemini. If Thundar should ever return to their village, they vow to fight alongside the barbarian to fight against the wizards. In the helicopter, Thundar and Ookla find Gemini's hideout. The barbarian attacks as the Mach flies the machine. Thundar senses Ariel's presence and dodges dangers to rescue her. Thundar comes face to face to face with the two-faced Gemini. From her cage of captivity, Ariel uses a spell to seal Gemini's face shield. Thundar cuts the cage bars and they flee the lair. Thundar and Ariel make it outside at the top of a tower to see Ookla getting frustrated with the helicopter and the Mach tears the machine apart. Ookla bails out of the cockpit, forcing Thundar and Ariel to make a daring leap off of Gemini's tower straight onto their waiting escorts. Watching them escape, Gemini vows to follow Thundar back to Manhattan, both to retrieve the Black Pearl and to seal the barbarian's fate. Back at the Manhattan human village, Thundar finds Tyron has returned to his people and is in good health. About to give the Black Pearl to Tyron, Gemini rides in on a black cloud of thunder and lightning. The wizard demands the pearl. The villagers refuse, and Gemini brings the ruined Statue of Liberty to life to destroy the Manhattan village. The final battle begins. Liberty's torch shoots fire at the village, but Ariel holds it off with her magic. All their efforts fail. Ookla can't hurt it with brute strength. The Sun Sword can't cut through it. Gemini has all but won and again demands the return of the Black Pearl. Reminded that he has the pearl, Thundar hurls it at the statue, which is enveloped in blue lightning and is stopped. Defeated, Gemini vanishes from the village. Now knowing what the pearl does, Tyron and his people will continue to search for more pearls as a weapon against further evil wizard attacks. The villagers of Manhattan wave goodbye as the brave trio gallop off to other adventures. Of the 21 episodes across two seasons of Saturday morning television, many have become fan favorites. Overall on the IMDb, the series is rated at 7.5. This is phenomenal for a show that hasn't had a new story in nearly 40 years. According to the fans, here are the top three episodes. Number 3. Prophecy of Peril. Vashtar, an evil wizard, steals the Crystal of Prophecy. The crystal gives him a window into his future where he can see his downfall. When the crystal shatters, Vashtar knows that three women will lead to his downfall. Maya, an element shifter buried in the ruined city of Endor, no relation. Cinda, a solitary barbarian living in the Canyon of Death. And Valerie Storm, an old Earth supermodel. Number 2. The Curse of the Black Pearl. Score! I just covered this and I don't need to get into it again. Less work for me. And number 1. Island of the Body Snatchers. This Season 2 episode finds our trio investigating the Mystery Zone, an island where ships have been wrecked. On the island is evil witch Cersei, who needs to find a sorceress to fight a curse. If she can't, the curse will turn her into stone. Enter Ariel, and Cersei switches bodies to leave her prison island and threatens Thundar and Ookla. And there you have it, the fans have spoken. As with most TV shows of the time, Thundar had his fair share of run-ins with the network censors. At the time, networks were trying to curb violence on Saturday morning. If a child could imitate the fighting, it was not allowed to be on TV. Steve Gerber cited that Thundar could never trip anyone because kids could imitate it and hurt someone in real life. If a character threw a huge stone boulder at a villain, that was deemed okay by the censors. Kids didn't have the strength for such a feat. Gerber observed, ironically, that these rules served to upscale the violence, not curb it. Notes for the censors also led to the Sun Sword being pure energy, as knives and real swords were not allowed on Saturday morning. Likewise, Ookla's stun bow had arrows with tips that looked like suction cups to show they couldn't actually hurt anyone. They never killed, only stunned. Thundar originally aired on ABC in the 11 a.m. time slot. In the fall of 1981, it was bumped up to noon, being replaced by Laverne and Shirley in the Army. Can you imagine tuning in for your weekly sword fight with evil wizards and you get Shlemiel and Shlemazel? What a letdown for youngsters everywhere who love Thundar. In the spring of 1982, ABC opted to move the show to an 8:30 time slot in order to attract more attention. It is possible that kids weren't seeing the show because of how late in the day it originally aired. But again, the network made a strange choice. Thundar now occupied the time slot held by Heathcliff the previous season. From garbage-eating cat to dystopian future, maybe not the perfect fit. Despite the low ratings on ABC, the network ordered 8 additional episodes for season 2. They moved it to an earlier time slot in the hopes it would be a hit. Sadly, the ratings continued to decline and it was canceled at the end of this run. Canceled on ABC, it was rerun on NBC through the spring of 1984. When it left the Peacock network, it was replaced in its 12:30 time slot with Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. At least if you're losing one action show as a watcher, you didn't get it replaced with lighthearted shows like Going Bananas or The Smurfs. What might have ended Thundar was the violence it showed in its episodes. What may be considered tame now, the 1980s saw the rise of TV groups who lobbied that TV was harming the minds of young children with the use of violence. Parents who took these groups to heart may have blocked their kids from watching Thundar, thereby hurting the ratings. Whatever the reason for the cancellation, Thundar ran a mere 21 episodes. When we return, we'll look at the aftermath and legacy of Thundar the Barbarian.
Some folks don't believe the super fruitiness of Bonkers fruit candy. They learn soon enough. Some folks think Bonkers is gum. They know it's candy now. With this extra fruity inside, Bonkers is so super fruity. Whoops!
Bonkers. Bonks you out.
Some candy!
Artificially flavored.
Merlin's a game that you can play. You can play it 6 different ways.
Some like to play at tic-tac-toe. Others can test their skill at Echo.
Some play a tune on Music Machine or try to play Blackjack 13.
Merlin is 6 electronic games in one. It's really fun for most everyone in the family. 6 penlight batteries not included.
With lights and sounds.
6 games in one.
Merlin's a game that's lots of fun.
Merlin, 6 electronic games in one. From Parker Brothers.
My chocolate
is in my peanut butter.
It's doggone good.
You get 2 great tastes in 1 candy bar. Reese's peanut butter cup.
Real milk chocolate. Delicious peanut butter. 2 great tastes that taste great together.
Reese's or Reese's Crunchy. Topped with chopped peanuts.
In the years after the show, series creator Steve Gerber would go on to work on other iconic 80s shows such as Dungeons & Dragons, G.I. Joe, and the Transformers. He would return to the world of comic books, even working on Dr. Fate at the end of his life in a Las Vegas hospital. Sadly, Stephen Ross Gerber passed away on February 8, 2010 at the age of 60. He is survived by his daughter Samantha. Jack Kirby worked with Ruby Spears Productions again on the animated series The Centurions. Kirby spent many years of his life fighting Marvel Comics over the ownership of his original art, which was locked away in a warehouse. Marvel finally returned approximately 2,000 original pages of Kirby's art out of an estimated 13,000 he had drawn in his career. At the time of his death in 1994, he was working with Image Comics for a book called Phantom Force. Artist Alex Toth died at the age of 77 at his drawing board in 2006. Looking at his credits, it appears that Thundar was the last show that Toth designed characters for. His original designs were reused for Cartoon Network shows such as Space Ghost Coast to Coast, C-Lab 2021, and Harvey Birdman Attorney at Law. Actor Robert Ridgely continued to work as an actor right up until his death at the age of 65 in 1997. He appeared in Paul Thomas Anderson's Boogie Nights and even reunited with Henry Condon in the 1996 animated short The Flintstones Christmas in Bedrock. Speaking of Henry Condon, he continued acting but only in voice work from 1982 until his retirement in 2000. He once said that all the casting directors were getting younger and younger and had no knowledge of his long and impressive career. Irritated at having to prove himself over and over, he exclusively performed in animation. He passed away at the age of 85 in 2005, 5 years after his retirement. Actress Nellie Bellflower's last acting credit was in 1983 as she turned her attention to producing. She found the stage play that would become the Johnny Depp film Finding Neverland and worked out the development deal at Miramax. She currently lives in Los Angeles with her husband. In the years after the show left the airwaves, it was evident that Thundar the Barbarian was gone, but never forgotten. In 2004, toy manufacturer Toynami released action figures of Thundar, Ookla, and Ariel. They were a limited release and quickly snapped up by collectors and diehard fans. The action figures had been a long time coming as Mego promised figures in the 80s, but they never materialized. Instead, Mego backed away from Thundar to produce figures for another show all children loved in the 80s, The Love Boat. Wait, really? They thought Captain Steubing would sell better than Thundar? Was there really a world where Gopher action figures was needed over Ookla? Could Ariel have been our cruise director? What a strange decision to make. Anyways, the Toynami figures are scarce now but can be found at steep prices on dot-coms like Amazon and eBay, and Thundar has invaded pop culture in other ways. It got a mention on the CBS series Elementary in the episode One Watson, One Holmes in 2015. There's also a New York City-based band named Ookla the Mock. In 2017, it was revealed that the band Morbid Angel was inspired by Thundar to name their album Kingdoms Disdained. If you weren't a child of the 80s and would like to see the show, it was released on DVD in 2010 as part of Warner's Manufacture On Demand service. You can buy episodes or a season on Amazon, iTunes, and Google Play Movies. Sadly, I don't see it streaming anywhere, but I could be wrong about that. It's been 40 years since Thundar and his Sun Sword made their debut on Saturday morning. It might only have lasted two brief seasons, but it is far from forgotten. And in this day and age of continuations and reboots, who knows what the future holds for Thundar the Barbarian? After all, Jack Kirby's creations are more popular than ever and fueling the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There's talk of reviving Howard the Duck past the few movies he's recently been featured in. It's proof that Steve Gerber is still remembered for the work he created. Maybe Thundar will be discovered by a new generation and live again. Until next time, Demon Dogs! Thank you for joining us at the Saturday Morning Podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review wherever you get your episodes. If you'd like to drop us a line, please write to satmornpod@hotmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at satmornpod. If you'd like to support us to create more of these things, find us at patreon.com/saturdaymorn. Supporters will get extra content and a chance to win behind-the-scenes prizes and given email priority. Do you have any vintage Saturday Morning memories? Email your story and we could read it on the next episode.